Now, Thomas is one of these Tutu Māori fellows, but he's also doing a bit of study. And you can hear in his voice the way his mind works and where it's going. I'm impressed by the things that he's doing. What we didn't talk about last time, but he did mention it, was his mentoring. And I think I've asked, okay, this is what you're doing, but how do Māori break into that line of being in terms of digital, in terms of innovation? You know, how do they get into that? And so, again, I welcome Thomas Parisi, and I believe he's got a friend with him, one of his mentees coming along tonight. So let's give him the time of day. Kia ora mai tātou katoa. Kia ora, Thomas.
Kia ora, Brent.
Pehea anau. How are you doing? What about last time we met, when I rode over there, and I think it was what you were saying is the first time you had a sit down kōrero with a fellow with no shoes on back in that cafe. Yeah. Well, we can meet anywhere, and this is Māori Radio, and this is the way we do it. So, so just for our listeners, can you introduce yourself? Tell us where you're from, and then we'll get straight into what you're up to lately.
Kia ora, everyone. I call Thomas Kitty. I'm a priest at home, nor Te Tiko Ahau. The Urigo, my iwis are the whānau apanui, whakatohea, tūhoe, Ngāti Awa, and Ngāti Rangatihi, and I'm also part Samoan, Fijian, Tongan, and European, and I'm a creative technologist, and I live here in Auckland, and I have also here my friend Rafe, who was one of my mentees in the first year, but I must say now he's well excelled beyond that now, so he can do his thing very good, and I'll let him introduce himself too.
Kia ora.
Yes, sir.
Kia ora. Bulubunaka. My name is Ray. I'm Māori Fijian. As you said, I'm a mentee of Thomas Parisi's. I'm actually in my second year of the degree that we're doing, Bachelor of Creative Technologies. He was, of course, my mentor last year for that period, and now I've become, I guess, his apprentice. It seems like I've become his apprentice because he's shown me the way, and he's taken me into these spaces, these corporate spaces that are, you know, usually a 19-year-old like me wouldn't really have that same privilege to experience these things. And for me, obviously, I'm Māori Pacific, and so for me to be invited into these spaces and to see how things are run is very unique, and it's very eye-opening to me personally. And I think we could probably enhance that experience and share that with more, you know, of our poly brothers and sisters, not just me, but for everyone to have a
first of many.
First of many. And I think this is like a beginning, a humble beginning, like some.
We're sitting on the ground talking to you right now.
As you should be, eh? Where you're comfortable. So, listeners, we're talking to Thomas and Ray. They're both doing the Bachelor of Creative Technology. You're listening to Radio Wātea. I'm Brent Rahana. I just want to go into some of the really innovative and neat things that you're up to. And can you talk about what the new things that are on your radar that are coming up? And that would be interesting to our listeners.
One thing that we spoke about before was the Matariki project. Me and Ray are working on that. This is going to be awesome. It raises awareness around sustainability and the environment and how, you know, people can be more conscious about their waste management and stuff, and show them the future outcome in terms of consequence and what it might look like based on how they do that now, I guess. Mm. And, it's going to be interactive and augmented reality. And, me and Ray, we live together now, so we've got no excuses not to get it done. pumping into that.
So the virtual reality stuff, how can that be utilised in today's world, and what sort of industry and what sort of applications does it have in the things that we do today?
Yeah. So that's another couple of I'm working on at the moment. I've started a new role at a company called Skills VR, and they've brought me on as the new executive lead, and my role is to introduce this tech to our people. And yeah, we've been having expos around the country, and yeah, it's showcasing how this technology can be used to build capability in businesses for training and educational purposes. And actually, a few weeks ago, we trained the first about 12 or 15 people in SiteSafe Passports, first ever certified in New Zealand. So we made a bit of history there in virtual reality, and gets them through the training in 45 minutes rather than a whole day, saving an employer cost and all of that, having to send them away to get a cert. So it's, efficient and cost effective, and it's a good way to introduce people to things as well. So,
what sort of industry was that used in?
So we SiteSafe is usually around construction stuff,
right,
I believe.
Yeah.
And so, we at the moment we are doing programs for general businesses, but there is an opportunity to bring this to our Māori businesses and bring them to these expos. And actually, we can tailor these experiences based on whatever service they're trying to provide to help them train their staff. And yeah, it's pretty awesome. This capable coming on.
Is it easy for you to do? Is it easy for businesses to pick up? And if you were to think about for Māori to, how would they be introduced to this so that, and where would they be introduced to this so that when they get to the point where you are, it's normal, it's normalised and they're used to it, they're familiar, they're comfortable with it.
Yeah, how do they get to this point?
Yeah.
Oh, I think for it to be normal, it's still very exciting for me. It's the way, the look on people's faces when they come off those headsets and they're amazed at it is still very exciting to see all the time. But to get to this point, it just takes time, I guess. You just hang around a few that do it, reach out to people like myself and Ray. And, we're actually happy to... teach people more about this space and get it out there. And the company we're with actually is looking at building those digital natives as well and teaching them how to, develop these simulations for our own as well. So there's an opportunity like that coming up as well. And at the moment, one cool thing I think we've done is that they've gone and built a mental health simulation, and they've built it internally and invested in it themselves, and the company's invested about 200K into it or something like that, roughly. Been building it for about 6 months, and they want to give it out for free to the schools, and that's their social impact that they want to do. So they're a good giving back company, and skills VR, I'm starting to see that they got some good motives there. So.
And that mirrors one of the things that you were doing when we last met. You were talking about that Matariki app and how that could be utilised by schools, how that the education department could use it, and how that could, I guess, flow on into other areas, so into business as well. But this more social understanding of what Matariki is, not just a group of stars, and how it could be used scientifically. Tell us more about that one.
Yeah, the Matariki project, we're still learning about this version of it ourselves, but the simple climate, and we just wanted to show people that, it's not about another day off to get on the piss. It's actually about a day to reflect and, plan and connect and be grateful, I guess, and just look after the earth in a way. So we just wanted to try and bring that to the forefront of the holiday, and just give people the choice to do it as we've been doing it since we were little kids, really.
To you, Ray, your work would be a little bit different, or your take on things would be a little bit different. What are the things that you're working on at the moment, and what are the challenges, what are the really interesting things that get you out of bed to do this?
Right. I'm on board with what Tom said so far, and it's about, I guess, what sort of message we want to communicate with this app, and the bigger picture. Yeah. And if to break it down, the technical side is that I'm using, I guess, this immersive technology, AR, right, augmented reality, and it's sort of novel to me. And so I have the privilege of going and using the resources that I've got at university to help foster my own learning and help me develop my own understanding of this technology, and using that while also doing something that I think has a big impact, has an actual important and depth impact. And I think that goes hand in hand in terms of molding Pacifica and tech, right? And so using what I've learned to actually make a difference.
Ray, I'm gonna take you back there because you mentioned two things, and maybe for our listeners who are not familiar with this, could you explain the difference between augmented reality and virtual reality?
Yes. So that's a pretty novel thing to see. Virtual reality and augmented reality are, you could say, one and the same thing, but they are different in the fact that one is more immersive in terms of taking the whole person, the whole user's world of view, and bringing them into a different space, like a completely different world, so to speak. But augmented reality, on the other hand, is more so an overlay or a hologram, you could say. And it's more taking a fabricated or like a digital object and putting it in front of the real life environment, real life scene. You could look at, they got games like Pokemon Go, for example, which is a pretty popular augmented reality tool. And so that's sort of the technology that I'm learning, and that me and some are actually using to help actually bring this app and deliver that as a new form of learning, a new learning tool. And that's sort of the research behind that, is that we think it's a more of a immersive way of learning, and that can help users retain more information, you could say, because you're able to sort of interact with a digital object from many different angles, and that, depending on who your target audience is, right? It could be kids, for example, and they're more kinesthetic learners, so they have more hands-on, you could say. And so this sort of learning tool is, you could say, the most optimal. It's like the best tool you could have in terms of targeting what kids by default, by their very nature, are known for, right? Exploring and interacting with things, instead of you've got this 2D screen, right? And that can be very limiting. And so I think that's the whole sort of the basis for why we think this technology is.
So my boy's into Minecraft and Fortnite. And actually, he tried to get on Fortnite and tried to sneak past us, but, you know, we paired him back on that one because of some of the security issues around it. But it wasn't about that. You know, if I'm sitting there watching him do Fortnite, well, that's okay. It's the other things that pop up. Are those the sorts of tools or toys, and, you know, they can be a bit of both because you play and learn. Are those the sorts of things that would prepare kids for the world that you're in now?
Right. I guess because of the technology that we're using, it's more towards targeting a more intuitive sort of approach. So it doesn't matter if you're familiar with games or not. You could pick up this phone, for example, and then you could turn on this game or app, and then you would automatically have this intuitive sense of how to engage with it. And I guess we're sort of trying to blend a few of those tricks and methods to help communicate a better form of.
So that's kind of the key element of that tech, is the experience with people. The UI UX is what really delivers it for people, really, so that intuitiveness.
So by nature, you two, and I can hear that you're both talking the same language, and, you know, some of the words that you come out with I have to Google. But you're obviously in there. And I remember talking to you first time we met, Thomas, and I looked at you and I thought, yep, I better go away and figure out what this guy's talking about. I got some of it. You know, the questions that I'm coming to, are we looking at a pair of geeks here?